Today is Saturday, June 25th, 2016, and this...
How much would it mean to you to go to Vegas and be successful again there?
It really is my life. It would just mean the world. You know, that's why we do what we do.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 557. Las Vegas, Nevada!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight.
Where we're both cleaning our glasses.
Gotta be able to see in order to properly
deliver audio.
Deliver this fine podcast of ours. Welcome back.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
We had a week off as a result of your absence.
You were absent too, though.
I was here. You were absent.
Okay.
I'm not blaming. I actually enjoyed the week off.
That's good.
Every once in a while, you just need a little break. And as
everyone needs a little time away, I heard her say.
As I've always mentioned, after a week off, not always, but many times, I'm raring to go. I get itchy to get behind the mic. I'm hoping that's why I'm itchy.
What part of you is itchy?
All over. One big body rash as a result of a week off the podcast. These are the things that happen. And we have a lot to get caught up on, a lot to talk about. And I am in a Vegas-y frame of mind.
Good.
Meaning that I've had a few cocktails because it's Saturday night and that's what we do around here. Sometimes. Often. Mm-hmm. So, before we jump into a plethora of news, let's mention a couple articles because it's completely self-serving.
Because you're popular.
I am very honored to have been the subject of two lovely articles in the past week or so. One of them was a review of my book on the CDC Gaming Reports website. Our old friend Dr. David Schwartz wrote a review of The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas, and it was extremely complimentary, and I just wanted to thank him for that. And then a couple days ago, there was an article on the Cranes Las Vegas website. Cranes is a business news outlet, and they have regional and local news, and Las Vegas is one of the markets they serve. And it turns out that one of their reporters listens to this very podcast. So, Corey Levitan, thank you for the very nice article. I appreciate it. I posted it on Facebook the other day, and people seem to like it.
That's good.
Between these two articles, I was compared to Garrison Keillor after a few drinks, which if I'm going to be compared to Garrison Keillor, I want that caveat. If it's just he's kind of like Garrison Keillor, I'm like, ugh, really? But you've never seen or heard Garrison Keillor after a few drinks. He's a riot. And then the other one compared me to Howard Stern. And actually, Garrison Keillor after a few drinks is just like Howard Stern. Talks about lesbians and boobs, and that's it. They're very similar that way.
Okay.
Garrison Keillor likes to have his staff crank call people and say "Baba Booey." It's just a really weird coincidence. So anyway, it was very nice to be the subject of those articles. I feel a little weird whenever I'm on the positive end of anything.
Yeah, it's that Midwestern,
I don't
get too big for your britches
It
thing.
Makes me just uncomfortable, but I'm like simultaneously like super honored and happy by it.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Also just like, don't say anything nice about me. I'm not capable of this.
I don't deserve your love.
Pretty much, so... Anyway, I will post links in the show notes for anyone who hasn't read them that would like to. And again, thanks to the authors of those articles. Very nice. So, this is the weekend that Mermaids and La Bayou are going away.
Oh.
I know.
Yay and boo. I don't know. I have
mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Granite Gaming is the owner of those properties along with Girls of Glitter Gulch, and they are shutting them down. and then turning over the keys to Derek Stevens, who owns Golden Gate and the D.
He will do good things with those properties, though.
I suspect he will. And, you know, we had some good times there.
We did.
Some of them documented on this very podcast.
Oh, my God.
One of our earliest...
La Bayou is like a running joke for us.
It has been for years. And then Mermaids, of course, was...
Mermaids wasn't as much of a destination. We did go there and record, though. I don't think we ever recorded in La Bayou.
It was one of the... Well, we...
We were going to record there for the book, but we...
It's so small.
Or not the book. Remember the series we did on each casino in Vegas, and we felt super self-conscious, like...
I like to call those the cancer episodes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
But we felt like the waitresses were hovering a little too much.
It was so small and awkward.
It just would have been weird. So we recorded our La Bayou episode at Golden Gate.
Was Mermaids the first on location recordings that we did in Las Vegas when we...
If not the first, it was one of the first. Yeah. I remember filing my hand on a table.
I know. Well, maybe we could get one of those tables. I don't think we really want those tables.
I don't think we do either.
Yeah. All right. So...
How much grease from the deep fried Oreos and
I'm sure that
deep fried Twinkies.
Those facilities are nothing but the cleanest and most sterile environments. I'm sure that they...
I know what you want.
Well, there's a lot of things that I want, but what specifically are you talking about this time?
One of the cherry pie machines.
I don't... There might have been one of those still at... I suspect if...
There was one at La Bayou, I'm sure. And I think there was one at Mermaids. We didn't go into Mermaids that often.
I used to lose a lot of money on those machines. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. I think I played the La Bayou one a couple times. But I used to lose a lot of money on those at assorted other locations. Speaking of machines that I used to lose a lot of money on.
Oh, Odyssey?
Somebody not far from where we live is selling an Odyssey machine.
Oh, so tempting.
I know. It's $1,200.
Yeah.
And it comes with a stand and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Part of me wants it really bad, and then part of me is like, Now, you...
If it came with Buccaneer Gold preloaded, I'd be like, snap that motherfucker up.
Well, so it has, I think it has...
Is that on the extra CD?
I don't know. It has games? 6 games on it. It said it has a CD with 9 other games, because you can swap them out, but I think it only can take 6 at a time.
Okay.
I don't know.
it can only take 6 at a time?
That's a lot, but I'm hesitant to... And then I think, like, if you can track down other games for it... There's a website where you can buy hard drives that have all the games on them.
See, Buccaneer Gold and Fort Knox.
Yeah,
I don't know. And then, yeah.
The Odyssey machines, for anyone who doesn't recall those, they were around in the late 90s.
And they were always being repaired.
They were giant video monitors that had an assortment of games.
And they were fucking sweet.
They're really great. Well, the reason they were being... The thing about the repair thing, it was the hopper that was the problem.
Yeah.
They were constantly...
Refilling the hopper.
Refilling it, and it was getting jammed. Those were the biggest issues. So
if it were a home machine, would that be an issue?
I don't think so. I don't know. It would be a bad idea. It would be really novel for about a week, and then it would just collect dust.
You're right. Remember when we got, was it PlayStation 2, and it had like Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we played the shit out of it for like a month, and then...
The novelty wore off.
And yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of it. But
if it were like half the price.
Oh, yes. Then no question. If it was $900 or less, I wouldn't have even told you. You'd come home one day, it'd be sitting.
I'd be like, oh, there's a motherfucking Odyssey machine in our house.
It would be positioned, like the end table in our bedroom would be gone. It would be like right next to the bed, so I could just like roll, just lay on my side and just start playing. Have a good day at work, honey. I'll be here when you get home. Yeah. So I don't know. I'll keep an eye on Craigslist.
Max would eat it, though.
No, it's pretty big and solid. I don't think he could eat the slot machine.
Don't challenge him, honey.
I'd protect it.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to some Las Vegas news. There's a lot to talk about. The biggest story of the week is that finally, after much discussion and debate and... hand-wringing and contemplating and negotiating, Las Vegas is finally getting its first major sports franchise.
Woohoo!
The National Hockey League is going to be expanding, adding a new team, which will be located in our beloved Las Vegas.
Here's the thing. I've gone to lukewarm on this to yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with this. I like this a lot. They're going to be playing at T-Mobile Arena beginning in with the 2017-2018 season.
Except for, I wonder how the expansion draft is going to affect our Wild.
It's going to affect every team the same. Yeah. So, whatever. It's fine. There is still a lot of unknown stuff surrounding this. Speculation over Las Vegas as a home for a major sports franchise and whether or not it can properly support it for the long term. And some people say yes, some people say no. There are many reasons why. For sure, the first few years, they're going to be okay. They've already sold 15,000 season tickets. They're gonna fill the place because of the novelty of having a new team.
Mm-hmm.
After the first few years, it's going to depend on a few different factors.
How good the team is.
Absolutely. If the team is competitive, they'll be fine. If not...
They've got a chance to be competitive.
Well, every team has a chance to be competitive.
But if they draft well, I think, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting franchise because there's no other city like Las Vegas in terms of the number of people that are from out of town who would be interested in such a thing.
So are people going to go to root for their home teams?
Absolutely.
Is the question.
I think that you're going to see a lot more.
Because if there's a fucking Wild series there.
That's just it. A lot of people who are from cities that have NHL teams or people who are fans of NHL teams, you know, even if they don't live in that city or state, that want to support them.
Are people going to root for the whatever the team to be named is?
Well, there's going to be that, too. If you don't have a team and you're a big Vegas fan, even if you don't live in Las Vegas, that might become your team.
You could adopt them as your team.
But there will be a significant number of fans for the other teams. I'd say compared to other franchises, like you go to a Minnesota Wild game, the majority of fans there are Minnesota Wild fans. Mm-hmm. With some exceptions, when the Winnipeg franchise comes through here, there's always several thousand Winnipeg fans who drive down.
Oh, yeah, because that's probably the closest Canadian franchise.
There is that. And some of the Canadian teams, it's hard to get tickets. They're more expensive and stuff. So I think a lot of Canadian fans will fly to Las Vegas. If it's hard to get decent tickets for their team, they'll be like, fuck it, let's plan a Vegas vacation around when our team is there. So you're going to see a certain amount of that, at least for the first few years. Also, any of the smart casino and hotel operators are going to market the hell out of this. And they're going to...
Hey, here's some free tickets.
Well, they'll package it. You know, they'll market to specific locations.
Like Minnesota.
Right. And they'll have packages that, hey, here are the dates that the Wild are going to be here. Come on down. You get your room and two tickets to the game and, you know, throw in a couple drinks beforehand. Maybe we'll shuttle you back and forth.
Hey.
They'll do stuff like that. And they're going to, if they're smart about it, they'll make it a thing. And different hotels could be the official home of the Minnesota Wild fans or the, you know, whoever, New Jersey Devils fans or whoever it might be.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, let's name all
Toronto
the franchises.
how do you feel about the Habs?
How do I feel about them?
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to... I don't have any issue with them. I don't know anything about them other than... That's not their name.
You prefer to call them the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, I do. I prefer the proper name.
Okay.
The league has not requested, they've not yet requested that casinos refuse to take bets for these games. So that was one of the things people have wondered about. And of course, there's still a while before this starts. But are you going to be able to gamble on the team? And it sounds like that's not really a big issue, and then it will probably be okay.
All right.
I know. No team name has been announced yet.
Okay, so hasn't the rumored name been the Black Knights?
The Black Knights. That's a name that the owner really likes.
Do you have any... I know there was a Twitter thread. There have been a couple message... Has there been anything on the Facebook group? I know there's been something on Deadspin.
There was stuff on our Facebook group in February 2015.
Of the names.
So somebody started a name thread this week. I'm like, nope, we're not doing this again. You can comment in the one from a year and a half ago if you'd like. It has 100 comments already. So,
whoa.
Yeah, it was very... So people have all kinds of ideas. The one that I really like is actually Norm Clark from the Review Journal posted it on Twitter. Not that far off from the Black Knights.
But?
A nice fit for Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. The Neon Knights.
Huh. I like that.
I kind of like that.
The Aces, the Las Vegas Aces.
It sounds like the NHL may not be real hot on having a gambling related thing, and the Aces, that would be
too much of a tie-in.
Yeah, whether or not that's true, I don't know. But Aces isn't a bad name.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
I like the Neon Knights.
I do too. I think it's a good name. So there you go. That is the scoop. 2017-2018. You can see the Las Vegas NHL team. And then, of course, the other issue too regarding long-term success of this franchise is there's still been a lot of talk recently about the NFL moving a team to Las Vegas, particularly the Oakland Raiders.
I was going
to
say the Chargers or the Raiders.
The Raiders. I still am more skeptical of this.
Yeah.
Here's a big part of my skepticism.
The NFL is one of the most hypocritical organizations in the world.
That's for sure. For years, they haven't allowed any sort of Las Vegas.
And I say that as someone who changes her mind from week to week, but yeah, but NFL, you're fucking hypocritical.
But yeah, so the thing with that is they've disallowed any gambling and Las Vegas related advertising during the Super Bowl for years. So for them to turn around and then put a franchise there would be the height of hypocrisy. The reason that I'm very skeptical about this is probably because of where we live and that our city has had sports teams that have threatened to move several times during my lifetime. And whenever that happens, they find another city that acts as the supposed destination, and then they negotiate using that team and
they end up to build a stadium.
Yeah, they end up staying. So in my gut, I'm thinking Las Vegas is probably that city. And Oakland will eventually end up getting a stadium. I know that they're trying. There's different ownership groups, and there's all kinds of stuff happening. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see whether or not they're able to work something out and make Las Vegas happen. It would suck for any of us who travel there, because as of right now, the financing would be done through yet another hotel tax. Ugh. And the hotel tax there is already ridiculously high.
And the resort fees.
Well, then you throw that on top of it. So whether or not the NFL happens, I'm still fairly skeptical, but we'll continue to watch that.
No.
I know. So hard to believe that I'm skeptical of something. All right, moving along. Let's talk about transportation, something we don't talk about very often, and it's not the most exciting topic, but it's important. When you're in Las Vegas and you're walking the Strip, one of the key ways that you get around is on those overpasses over Las Vegas Boulevard, over some of the other intersecting streets. And, you know, the one issue that comes up occasionally is that the escalators rarely work, especially when it's raining. Well, maybe this will help a little bit. I don't know. Down on Tropicana in Las Vegas Boulevard, they are reconstructing all of the escalators, and they're going to be doing significant work on the overpasses over the next couple of years.
What are they going to be doing?
It's a $30 million project that has already begun. I think that might have been the first place they put those overpasses up. So they're 22 years old and thus in need of updates.
They were there the first time we went to Vegas.
I know. They're removing and replacing the existing bridge guardrails. They're replacing worn surfaces. They're making aesthetic improvements. So those are
Tell me about the aesthetic improvements.
Well, those are the...
They're going to be murals?
No. Those are the walkways where they have, like, they're fenced in.
Yes.
I think they're replacing those with plexiglass like they have on the other ones.
So it's a better photo opportunity?
And then...
As long as you get the glare?
It depends how glary and scratchy they are.
Oh, true.
Some of those get scratched up. And then the outside, they're putting like an aluminum kind of paneling on there so they look a little nicer. That's on all four bridges. Right now, the bridge between Excalibur and Tropicana is closed. They've already begun working on it, so pedestrians are being detoured
to MGM.
Other bridges, and apparently there's a place you can cross on the street down Wyatt Way. I think you're probably just better going the long way on the overpasses rather than walking down to Reno Avenue, wherever the hell that is.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, just go to MGM, go over to New York, and then go to Excalibur.
I would say follow whatever signs they happen to have, because they'll tell you where to go. The closure is going to remain in effect until December.
If you want to go to Excalibur, that is.
The bridge enhancements are scheduled to be completed in mid-2018, so this is going to take a while. Here's the great part. If you're loving this story, if you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad Tim and Michelle finally talked about...
Oh my God, I have such a bridge boner right now.
Escalators and overpasses. How can I keep updated on this story? You're in luck. The State Department of Transportation has set up a special texting feature for you to receive updates on your phone.
What?
You can text Trop escalator to 22828 from your mobile device to receive updates. I'm tempted to do this.
Do it for science.
I might. I think that my text. What if they have? What if like every 45 minutes, I get an update, like a photo, and it ends up blowing out my whatever my texting limit is.
I don't think we have a limit anymore.
You don't. I do.
You do?
I think so.
Oh.
Anyway, I might do this in the name of science, as you said, just to see what kind of project updates we'll get.
Hopefully they would have a stop or unsubscribe feature.
I'm sure they will. So there you go. You can get, I was going to say daily updates. I suspect they will probably not be that often, but text at will and be updated on the Tropicana Avenue, Las Vegas Boulevard escalator and overpass project. It's going to last a long time. Very exciting. Moving along to another transportation related story. This comes courtesy of our Facebook
Thank
group.
Thank you so much for not playing Lowrider during this segment.
Why would I play Lowrider?
Because every time there's a fucking like traffic report, that's what people play.
I would choose Slow Ride.
Okay.
Instead, take it easy.
Good. That's a better song.
All right. Tony on our Facebook group provided some excellent information that I was unaware of, and a lot of the listeners were unaware of. This has not received a lot of attention. The Cromwell has a house car available for hotel guests there.
I did not know this until you mentioned it.
I didn't know it until Tony mentioned it. It is a free transportation option for hotel guests at the Cromwell. They will take you any place within a 2-mile radius, including the airport.
Ooh.
They won't pick you up at the airport, but they will drop you off there.
That's cool.
I know. That's not bad at all. He said it is basically a Yukon that is contracted from a limo company. They don't publicize it, but I think that's to kind of control usage a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but they still like to have it available as a nice feature. This is kind of a big deal for the Cromwell because the only other places I'm aware of that have this type of service are like the high end, the Four Seasons, the Mandarin Orientals of this world.
Mm-hmm. Hotel 32 for certain. Well,
though they do pick up for
certain room types.
Certain room types.
They don't do
airport,
it for the studio rooms.
But they don't have the general car service where they'll take you anywhere within a certain distance, I don't believe. Mm. I think it's just the airport thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little different. So if you're staying at the Cromwell and you decide, I want to go down to, you know, Wynn or SLS, but shit, it's hot. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
rather than Ubering or taxi cabbing, you can use their car and do it for free. You know, just tip the driver and all is well. So mm-hmm. this is a nice option.
That is cool.
Yep. Very, very nice. So that is happening.
Have you mapped out the 2-mile radius?
I have not. I don't know exactly, but it won't get you downtown. I know that. But beyond that, I don't know exactly what's within 2 miles. But I would think your center strip, that's going to cover mm-hmm. the strip. So beyond that, I don't know, maybe you get over to the Hard Rock. Or I think somebody did say that the Double Down was right on the edge. So that'll get you to the Hard Rock and some of the bars around there. Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about some restaurant news. There's a restaurant that didn't get a ton of attention. Called Del Toro. It's been at Palazzo.
Not Del Taco.
Del Toro. It was part of the Ferrari dealership
mm-hmm.
when Palazzo opened. The Ferrari dealership didn't last that long, but the restaurant remained open. According to Las Vegas Advisor, that has now closed. I don't remember maybe one review in the time we've been doing this podcast of that place. I don't remember many people mentioning it, which is surprising given the location. Super high profile, like right on the strip. They had outdoor seating, and yet nobody seemed to have gone there. And I also was unaware that the Ferrari dealership space has been used as an exotic car museum in recent
erotic
years.
Erotic car museum or exotic?
Exotic.
Car
Okay. What would an erotic car?
You don't want to know.
Is it like just the paint job has?
It could be the paint job. It could be the hood ornaments.
The mud flaps.
Or it could be special. You know those shows where people like to have sex with their cars?
I have seen those shows, yes. Those are creepy.
There could be something of that nature.
They're documentaries. They're not like fetish porn.
No.
There probably is fetish porn, but
I'm
not aware of it firsthand. The Exotic Car Museum. It sounds like it was really just one of those rental places where you can get a Lamborghini or a mm-hmm. Ferrari or something, and it was like a showroom for that. So that is closed as well, according to the advisor, and no word yet on what that space will be used for. Like I said, super high-profile space, great location, and hopefully they'll put in something that will be a little bit more exciting that people will be drawn to, rather than a restaurant that received no significant attention and a car, supposed car museum. So that's the scoop there. There's another restaurant closing. I had forgotten this existed as well. Fuku Burger, which is a food truck.
Mm-hmm.
When the link opened, the food truck had a location as part of the link in the FAME establishment, which I think had a couple different things going on, but Fuku Burger was one of them. That closed down, and they moved their strip location down to the Hawaiian Marketplace, where things go to die.
Yes.
Chili's is still open, and Pete Rose's Sportsbook is still open, along with an assortment of shitty kiosks.
Big Balls?
But Big Balls is forever. They have like a lifetime lease on that kiosk at Hawaiian Marketplace. So it's gone now. Apparently, the Chinatown location is still open. So if you have a hard time finding a burger on the Las Vegas Strip, and it's really tough these days.
Oh, it is.
There's just no place to get a burger anywhere. You can go to Chinatown to get one, which, I don't know. Apparently, it's a very good hamburger, but it didn't, not well enough to stay open at either of its strip locations. So, fuck you, Fuku Burger. See what I did there with the...
You're funny.
I know.
I like this title of your next section here.
I'm not moving on to that quite yet.
Oh, okay,
cool. I have one other late addition, and that is that there is very, very loose, concept-y information regarding the insert coins space on Fremont Street. Apparently, there's been some sort of a plan filed with the city, according to one of your favorite websites, Eater Vegas, and Vegas Eater, whatever it's called.
Vegas Eat My Butt.
And according to that, it's going to be some sort of combo sportsbook dance club. I'm not exactly sure how that works. What kind of dance club? Is it just like there's a dance floor in the corner and have at it if you will? Or is it, I can't see it being an Oontsy Vegas strip nightclub.
No, I see it being like Gold Diggers where people go to drink and then if you're drunk enough, you might hit the dance floor.
Yeah, that sounds right. Especially if it's like a sports book during the day. A sports bar. I can't see that being like an upscale nightclub. That doesn't really work so well, but no name, no opening date, nothing like that yet, but we will keep you apprised of the situation. Okay, moving along to entertainment news. You like that I've titled this next, I'm not sure, Mike Tyson and Righteous Brothers extensions?
Yes. I don't know why. This just amused me.
Okay. Well, Las Vegas Sun is reporting that Mike Tyson's Undisputed, his one-man show at MGM Grand, has been extended until October of this year. So if you've been meaning to see that, and by all accounts, it's quite a good show. That's going to be around for a while. And the Righteous Brothers at Harrah's, originally booked for a three-month stint ending in mid-June, has been extended through the end of 2016. So if you've had a desire to see either of those shows, they will be around for a while. Hooray for them. You know who the happiest person about this news is?
Who?
Bucky Hurd.
Yes.
The fill-in Righteous Brother.
Mm-hmm.
The I'm not the dead guy Righteous Brother. One other show note is a tribute show that's been around in Las Vegas for 9 years. It's called Country Superstars. This is a country music tribute show with several different acts.
Which you've seen often.
I've never seen this show. It's kicked around from casino to casino. It opened at the Fitz years ago. I know it was at Golden Nugget for a while. And
kicked around because they were boots, get it?
Assorted other venues. Most recently, the Bally's Windows Showroom. It apparently closed there a week ago. Is not lost, however.
Yeah.
It's reopening in a few days at Hooters.
Aw.
I know, it's going to do great at Hooters.
When you first broke the news in this house, I'm so upset that it's moving to Hooters because we might have accidentally wandered up to Windows at Bally's.
Well, that was, yes, the chances of us seeing country superstars.
Super low.
Super low. At Bally's, I'd say there's like a 0.0001% chance that we might get
If we were, let's say we're staying in the Jubilee Tower and we accidentally get on the wrong escalator.
Right. And then there's nobody standing at the door and we wander into the show.
There we go.
So there's a chance of that. At Hooters, there's no chance that we're not going to accidentally go out of our way to Hooters and then go into the showroom.
No.
So eliminating any chance we'll see this show anytime soon. But if you're into, tribute shows and want to see some country music acts, you can go see that.
And as I clarified with you earlier, this is not X Country where they strip to Patsy Cline.
That's at Harrah's, I believe, and that's still alive and well. So go at it. The Plaza rooftop pool that has been under construction is opening on July 2nd. The pool has been closed this year so that they could do a major revamp. And based on what I've been seeing in their Facebook group, on their website, this is going to be a pretty nice pool area. It's a huge improvement. The pool is still pretty small, but the overall space looks like kind of a cool place to hang out.
The ambiance?
I believe, we'll see once it opens whether or not it deserves this comparison, but it's looking kind of like a downtown Grand situation.
What is the situation as far as entrance? Do you have to be a hotel guest or can non-hotel guests go?
I believe, and don't hold me to this, but I believe $10 for non-hotel guests, which isn't bad. You know, if you want to hang out at a pool, there really aren't that many decent downtown pool options. But if this is as nice as it looks, then we'd have Golden Nugget, the Shark Tank pool. Mm-hmm. We'd have Downtown Grand, which everyone who's tried it has loved. Again,
Citrus at Picnic.
Yeah, Citrus at Picnic at Downtown Grand Pool Deck.
Sponsored by Smuckers.
Smuckers, yes. So that's a lovely one. Again, similar in that it has a relatively small pool, but it's a very nice space.
Mm-hmm.
Go up there, get a drink, maybe do a little gambling. The new pool at Plaza has a bunch of additional seating and cabanas. They've got gambling, so you can play blackjack up there. I don't know if they have craps too, but for sure blackjack. They've added some games because, of course, the kiddies love the games. They have something now, and I hope that you can help me with this.
Oh, that's
game,
right.
A game that they've been promoting that I'm not aware of. Of course, we've talked, a lot of these pool areas, they've got your giant Jenga games. They have your cornhole, which is what you want to play at the pool.
What about your cornhole?
They've got shuffleboard, those kind of things. There's a game that they're going to have at Plaza called pickleball. I think they're using one of the tennis courts for pickleball, although I'm not 100% certain on that.
May I read from Wikipedia?
Oh, there's no better source for any information than Wikipedia. So please explain pickleball via...
Well, I tried to go to the official pickleball website, but it had a bunch of fucking videos, so you can't really read that.
No, okay. Explain pickleball to me, please.
Pickleball is a racket sport that combines elements of badminton, tennis, and table tennis. Two, three, or four players use solid paddles made of wood or composite materials to hit a perforated polymer ball similar to a wiffle ball over a net.
So the tennis court makes sense then.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using like a tennis court.
Uh-huh. You're using a paddle.
And you're hitting a wiffle ball with a tennis racket, essentially, or some sort of paddle. Okay.
The sport shares features of other racket sports, the dimensions and layout of a badminton court, and a net and rules similar to tennis with a few modifications. Pickleball was invented in the mid-1960s and as a children's backyard pastime, but quickly became popular among adults as a fun game for players of all levels.
It was invented in the 60s, it quickly became popular, and neither of us have heard of it.
I take issue with that statement, Wikipedia.
I take issue with any sport that is described as one of the fastest growing sports in the world. They never are.
No.
They're always...
Ultimate?
I'm barred from talking about Ultimate Frisbee because I'm trying to maintain a friendship. But I have some thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss it in our spirit circle after the show.
Okay.
So that's what's happening. There's a lot of stuff going on in Las Vegas. I look forward to seeing...
Can two people make a spirit circle?
We can try, if you know what I mean. I'm looking forward to seeing this pool because obviously downtown could use more.
Will you pay $10 nice to see said areas. Pool?
Well, no, but we'll get in there.
Okay.
There'll be opportunities to get in.
Okay.
We've seen the Downtown Grand. Well, we were staying there though, weren't we?
Yeah. Yes, we were.
We'll find somebody who's staying there during VIMP. Will the pool be open? We'll figure out a way.
Okay.
Or we could just ask.
Hey, we're members of the media.
Yeah. It's according to this article in Crane's Business. You may have seen it. I'm very influential.
Uh-huh.
I'll carry it around. I'll print it out and carry it around. Here, you might have seen this. It has my big ugly mug on it. That'd be fantastic. I suspect there may be somebody listening from the plaza. Based on information I've been receiving, apparently all the marketing people in the entire city listen to this podcast, and they're all hiding under their desks, worried that we're going to rip on them. You're doing fine work, marketing folks. You just need to dial down the adjectives in the press releases. That's all you got to do. You'll be fine. Okay, so if anybody checks out the plaza pool shortly after it opens, give us a call. We love your review on it. Especially if you've seen the downtown Grand Pool. I'm curious how apt that comparison is.
Yeah.
Well, since they do have gambling up there, we might be able to say, hey.
I'd like to gamble.
I don't care about your pool, but there's gambling up here.
There's
and
some
I'd like
blackjack.
To take advantage of that, and they'll let us in. So mm-hmm. We'll do that.
Because that's how we got into the Mandalay Bay pool. We're like, we'd like to go gamble.
Yep. There you go. I think that they're obligated to let you in when you say that.
Except I don't think there'd be as much boob flashing at Plaza as there was the Mandalay Bay pool.
You never know. I just don't know if I'd want to see it at Plaza. Mandalay Bay?
Little more fit.
Not bad. All right, let's talk about our friends at Viator, shall we?
Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we often talk about the Las Vegas adventure options, the helicopter rides and the ATV tours and all that great stuff that I'm afraid to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have some other really cool options that are different than that are in Las Vegas that you can take advantage of. For example, I was unaware of some of these. The more I explore on Viator's website, I'm like,
oh, on Viator, thank you for
clarifying.
I did not
know that
you
had some of these things. So, for example, it's pool season. They have a pool party tour. It's a 5-hour pool party tour where you can get VIP access and no cover charge to the Venetian and either the Hard Rock or MGM Grand pools. And I believe this is probably like...
Do we want to go to the Hard Rock or the MGM Grand pools, though? Because... First of all,
if you want to do a Las Vegas pool party, though, those are the two that you want to do.
But those are the most diseased, aren't they? I mean,
but that's part of the experience.
But there's a lot of shit floating in that water. And perhaps literal shit. I don't know. But I think there are a lot of bacterial containing ingredients in that water.
I think that you would be... that's a great thing to say during our sponsorship spot.
Sorry, Viator. I'm sure the Venetian is great.
I think the Venetian one is probably the Tau pool, so a similar kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's a pool
similar
party.
Kind of diseases.
No, it's a pool party. You're supposed to. And then the
nice
thing is.
You're supposed to put stuff in the pool.
I know, that's part of the experience. That's why they have chlorine. It kills all that stuff. Anyway, between pool parties, you get to jump into a limo party bus with an open bar and unlimited drinks, thus the open bar. And they take care of your transportation as well. So you just show up. You're ready to party. Afterwards, they will take you to the Welcome to Las Vegas sign. You get your picture taken. You're going to be wet and drunk and happy.
You're going to be torn up.
It's going to be a long, fun day. If you're not into the pool scene, here we go. Maybe this will be a little bit more up your alley. They have multiple food tours.
Okay.
In fact,
I like food.
I know. There's a downtown one. There's a Las
Vegas. I'm already
Vegas.
Dreaming about the next time we go to Vegas and the different restaurants we're going to and the different bars.
Well, there you
I'm
go.
I'm all about the food and the beverage.
They've got a couple different food tours. They have Las Vegas Strip. They've got downtown. I've been contacted by the owner of the particular company that runs these food tours, and he tells me that many of our listeners, well, several of our listeners at least, have enjoyed themselves on these tours.
Define enjoyed themselves.
They've had a great time, and on Viator, they've got 5 stars. And
that's good.
Yeah, so
that's good.
Apparently, it's a cool thing. So check out the food tours.
Okay, what kind of places do they go to on the food tours?
A variety of places, and you can sample different things from different... Look at the website. There's a whole list of things.
Okay, I will.
It varies depending on when you do the tour and stuff, so it's hard to say here are the...
Here are the restaurants you'll visit because you don't want to make promises.
You've got a couple hours where you get to go around and have, you know, check out different food options at some of these places, and you're going to eat well. That is faux show.
Okay.
There's a Las Vegas club and bar tour, which is new on Viator. So you go to 4 of the, you know, hottest nightclubs on the Las Vegas Strip. They've got VIP entry for you. They've got, you know... fun. Nightclubs and bar fun. It's not all nightclubs. It's like bars too.
Question.
There's a long ass list. I can't promise you which ones you're going to end up on.
What if you're wearing New Balance and you want to go on this tour?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. There may be a dress code. You might want to check the website.
Okay.
There's also a party bus crawl where.
Otherwise, you might bitch about it for 10 years.
We're going on 11, but yes. There's a Las Vegas party bus crawl as well. They've got all kinds of cool stuff in Viator. So even if you're not into the adventurous stuff, if you just want to party, if you want to get in the pool with some other hot, young, hunky co-eds.
Hunky, voluptuous people.
If you want to go on some food tours and have some great food, there's all kinds of options. Check it out at Viator.com. You can download their apps. You can click through our website at 500bymidnight.com before you book, and we get extra credit. And as always, we thank Viator for putting up with my wife pissing on my suggestions that you should have a lot of fun in Las Vegas.
Well, you should have fun. It's just, you know, you might want to be sanitary.
We have no reason to believe the pools at the above mentioned.
I'm sure the tours are great.
You're going to have a time of your life in a clean, sanitary manner.
I'm just saying, maybe you don't want to go in the water.
Go in the water. Don't go in the water. You're going to be just fine. If the water's, it's fine. I think we should move on to some phone calls.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you and sorry, Viator.
Michelle, it's Andrew and Georgina. Last day in Vegas. We came here for 6 nights. Got married on Wednesday.
Congratulations.
Say hello to Georgina.
Hello.
Hey, Tina.
Georgina doesn't listen to the podcast, so I think she's a bit wary, thinks we might sound strange.
No,
not
at all.
Thrown up piss, so it really
We're very
matter.
Strange.
Stayed at the Cosmo, looked after us well. I had a verbena, which was pretty strange, but... an experience. Also discovered a cocktail at the Bond Bar, the Heisenberg,
ooh,
which was cool. But one of our friends that came with us thought that they put a shrimp in there when it was actually a slice of orange. You might have had a few. Anyway, I'll look forward to listening to the podcast when I'm back in the UK and thinking of Vegas.
Bye.
Until then, bye.
Congratulations. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
I'm curious about this Heisenberg cocktail.
I know. I assume... why is this not pausing? Okay. I assume that is a Breaking Bad related concoction based on the name, wouldn't you think?
Maybe it'll be blue.
Maybe. Okay. Thanks for that report. I really want to have some fun at Cosmopolitan now.
Mm-hmm.
Next up.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. This is Alonzo from
Alonzo.
Back in Vegas again. Came out for a little implosion action. Staying at Circus Circus. So took this opportunity to have a steak at the steakhouse at Circus Circus. Sat at the bar since I was traveling alone, and at 6:30 they told me that the next table available was at 9:30. So clearly that place ain't hurting for business. It was a really tasty prime rib. One of the things I like about this steakhouse, I had the petite prime rib, which I think was a 14 ounce. I don't remember, didn't exactly say. There was a small one and a big one. But at the Circus Circus Steakhouse, it was $50, and that came with a super salad, came with a little basket of bread, came with a choice of baked potato, I think it was French fries or rice, came with the vegetable, which, you know, for $50, you're getting some value there, because those are all add-ons at other steakhouses.
True.
So still really enjoying the steakhouse at Circus Jerkus. Getting there was another story. I don't think I stepped 6 steps inside the casino, and the screaming of little 4- and 5-year-old little rug fuckers was going crazy. So still not liking the place, but the steakhouse is still tasty. I'll let you know how the implosion goes a little later on. All right. Bye.
All right. We'll hear... couple different calls from him later on and his experiences with the implosion. But glad you like the steakhouse.
Question for you.
Does anybody know about the quake?
We do.
Okay. What's your question?
Baked potatoes and sour cream. We had a discussion over dinner about sour cream, and one of us thinks it's only appropriate in potato-based toppings, and
That's correct. The other of us
thinks that it's appropriate for both potatoes and Mexican food.
I'm not a fan of sour cream except on potatoes. And I prefer, like, on a baked potato, it's better if it's sour cream and chive.
Because the chive supposedly drowns out the sour cream flavor.
But it helps.
Not really.
It helps it along. And with I think we've been through the sour cream thing enough. I don't think there's anything else for me to say about it, but thanks for keeping the hope alive. More for you. Mm-hmm. More for you.
All right.
More for you.
Okay.
All right.
Except that you ordered it at dinner.
But it was for waffle fries, and with waffle fry, and it was seasoned sour cream, which is
mm-hmm.
different.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a pass on that.
Sure you do.
But you've noticed whenever I order Mexican food, I say, by the way, keep that dairy jizz off of my food.
And if it does come with sour cream, you happily pass it on to me, which is awesome.
Scrape it off.
I'm like, yes.
I hose down my burrito.
With what?
Anything to get the sour cream off of it.
Is there a particular hose you use?
All right, let's move on. Speaking of foul mouth innuendo, here's Potty Mouth Joe.
7500, Potty Mouth Joe, partial trip report. How the fuck are you?
Fine.
Weather is good. Got here Saturday. It is now Tuesday. Sunday, man, you wake up to really bad news in the country and you're a little bummed out because you're out here just have trivial fucking fun. But we must persevere because that's what we do as Americans, man. It's our culture. So we're working at it. I tried to eat an egg slot twice. Couldn't. Too big of a line. But I must tell you this. There's nowhere to sit. There's very little seating. So it's sort of like if you do get to eat there, they might as well just go, here's your fucking overpriced egg sandwich. Now go fuck yourself. Go find a spot on the floor and lay down, That kind of a deal. So it's new, of course, so popular. And, at the Cosmopolitan, which is where I'm clocking in from right now, it's a quick, easy thing to do. There's not a lot of quick fooders like pizza. You guys know that. Emeralds at MGM, always awesome. Kick ass. Surprising us, Bruxy's, this place is way better than we ever would have expected. And we've been around, been there, done that. It's some good fucking chicken, man. And Bruxy's kicks ass.
I don't know where that is.
Enough of that. For you slot players, Ted. Don't forget, maybe you guys talked about this, but don't forget to scratch Ted over on the couch. We've been scratching machines, There's all those little Easter eggs in there and stuff. And he'll fart for you and swear and throw shit. But that's kind of cute. Oh, yeah. And also, Ed Slot, I must tell you, not to get too perverted. These are some fucking slutty eggs, man. I got to tell you. These are some trailer park eggs. If I wasn't hungry and I was drunk enough, I would think about getting one of them sandwiches and taking it up to my room, You know what I'm saying? To do, impure, unnatural acts with it. I'm just saying. Probably best to eat it and not be drunk. Gambling sucks. First couple days, it's gotten way better, man. So it's fun. It's fun the last couple days. Again, 100, no clouds. Try to clock in a little bit later in the week. Having a good time. Love you guys.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to hear from Potty Mouth Joe.
Question: do they serve bagel sandwiches at Egg Slot?
I'm not sure if they have bagels as an option.
Okay.
I mean, they're egg based sandwiches. I don't know if the bagel is a specific bread option as part of your sandwiches.
Just curious.
All right. All right. Thanks for asking, though. I appreciate that. I think
you're
we
welcome.
Will have. Oh, actually, this next caller also discusses that specific restaurant.
All right.
Hey, 500. This is Tom from SoCal.
Hello, Tom.
Fresh
hey, Tom.
Home from my Riviera implosion trip that I wanted to give you some comments on. I really wanted to do another one of my live reports for you guys, but as it happens, I was literally 8 inches away from an actual news reporter, and I figured he wouldn't have appreciated me shouting bullshit into a phone while he was trying to do his live broadcast.
Ah, that's his problem. That's
anyway,
his problem.
Sorry I couldn't do that for you. But
it's all right.
It was pretty cool. I was helping a friend out who was recording the implosion for a documentary. So I was literally had an amazing vantage point, and I was right on top of every news reporter in Las Vegas, and that was pretty cool.
Wait, what?
Which news reporters? Because there's a few of them I'd like to forget it.
see, the trip itself, I stayed in an ongoing attempt to stay at every property. I selected Main Street Station this trip. It's pretty much a no-frills hotel. It's slightly nicer than a motel, but, you know, no extra cost for, you know, staying there. What the hell am I trying to say? Resort fee, thank you. Resort fee, no resort fee. So that was nice. The casino itself is actually pretty cool. If nobody's taken a walk over there, I kind of encourage you to do so. The casino is, it's just like decorated, you know, everywhere with antiques and artifacts and art. It's pretty cool, nice collection. They even have a guide at the front desk, a little pamphlet you can grab that shows where all the antiques and artifacts are and what they and why they're significant. So that's pretty cool, something to do. What else? I did the buffet there, and it was okay. It's a typical buffet. The only thing worth noting is that they would not allow for the lunch-breakfast crossover, which is something that I tend to try to do. I don't know if that's a Boyd-wide thing or if it's exclusive to that property, but they kicked everybody out at 11 o'clock if you weren't, and then charged separately for the lunch crowd. So that was first time I had experienced that, and I didn't expect that to happen. Dinner
that's good to know.
One night, I went to Top of the Binions finally. That was pretty great. Even the green beans were delicious. I would have eaten more if I could have gotten more. It was, everything that I had was fantastic. I had the filet, 10-ounce filet, and garlic mashed potatoes, and dessert. Everything was fantastic. So, and of course the view. I went early on a Sunday to make sure I could get one of the awesome window seats with a view that they're famous for, and that certainly added to the experience. So that was pretty cool. Egg Slut, I swang by there at Cosmo. Yeah, I posted this on the Facebook page as a spoiler, but yeah, it was pretty tasty. I went in the afternoon as sort of a Chuck Buffet type snack. I don't know. I've been told that if you go for breakfast time, the lines can get pretty long because they have one cashier and one cook, and apparently that's a bummer. But I didn't experience that, so I can't really speak to that myself. I had the bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, and it was fantastic. I went and saw Carrot Top, actually, because I had free tickets. I figured, why not? It's free. I had the time. And I have to line up with what everybody else says. It was surprisingly entertaining. He had a lot of music-related jokes. I know that you guys are never going to go see it, and that's...
Wait a minute. You don't know that. I would consider seeing Carrot Top. Based on the reputation and the reviews, I would see Carrot Top.
And we met him once, and he was a really nice guy.
That's what changed my mind when I met him, and I was like, oh, he's... After that, I would go see him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was self-deprecating, and
yes,
his show gets really good reviews, so...
Understandable, but I don't know. While he was doing all that music-based humor, I was thinking about you guys and how much you probably enjoy that. You're much more music heads than I am, but even I enjoyed it, and it was pretty great. But despite the free tickets, I still feel pretty guilty about spending a total of $15.18 at an MGM property. I couldn't help it. That turkey club at the Backstage Deli at the Luxor, I had to have it. It's really good. Before I go, I had a quick question. I noticed that every month in your, when you do your thank yous for the recurring monthly donations,
yes,
I'm always, my monthly cycle is always synced up with Kelly.
What?
Sorry, phrasing. I was just wondering, is that the Kelly of Viator fame?
No.
Or just another Kelly that I don't know about?
It's another Kelly.
Just curious. Doesn't matter. I was just curious. All right. Love you guys. See you at Vince. Bye.
We have a variety of Kellys listening to this show. That would be a different Kelly. Kelly from Viator pays me to plug their fine products. So,
mm-hmm.
Yes. I like their cycles are synced up, though.
That's nice.
Okay. Thanks for that thorough report. Lots of great information there. So one of the restaurants that is coming to the renovated Monte Carlo is the restaurant from Nomad in New York. And this next gentleman is going to give us a bit of a preview of that based on his experience in New York.
Hey, Tim Michelle, this is Jesse from New York City. I wanted to quickly give an update as it relates to the Nomad. So Nomad, of course, stands for North of Madison, which is an area north of 23rd Street here in New York City. But I'm calling to tell you about...
So there you go. You were wondering about the name Nomad. You're saying it was stupid. Now you know, okay. The reason why.
It's like Soho.
Yes, but it won't make any sense in Las Vegas because
there's no Madison there.
New restaurant here. So Nomad is a swanky hotel. The restaurant is one of the best meals, if not the best meal I've had in New York City.
Awesome.
For, I think, $85-$90, they have a meal called the Chicken for Two, which they take a whole chicken, and the chef magically cooks it with foie gras and truffle underneath the skin, and then they cook it, and then right before they serve it to you, they actually bring it out to basically, like, if you're going to select wine, they basically sort of show you the bottles, if that makes any difference whatsoever.
Do they bring out like a bunch of chickens in a cage? Is it like the lobster tank thing? Or are they dead already? Because I want to pick a live chicken and I want to see him cut the head off. And then you get to take And then you get to take the head home as a souvenir, like it's the cork from the wine bottle.
No.
I love this concept.
No.
When I was a kid, I'm told, and I think there might be photos of this, my grandfather would have me pick up the heads from the chickens as he was taking care of the chickens. They would be running around the yard after he cut the heads off, and he'd give me a bucket, and I'd walk around and pick
collect
up the heads. Yeah, so I kind of feel at one with this chicken story. Okay, sorry. I don't think that's how it works, but I kind of like the idea of choosing a chicken. Our vegetarian listeners right now are vomiting all over themselves at the mere thought of this. Sorry, guys and gals.
The chicken's beautiful. It's golden. It has a bouquet of herbs and flowers like coming out of its ass. And then they chop it up for you, and it is the best thing you've ever had. I was a little skeptical at first because chicken is usually chicken, but this is a game changer. So that's the Nomad restaurant. Attached to that is the library, which has sort of a speakeasy, cozy den feel, but it's all, again, very, very swanky. So I think this will do very, very well in Vegas. Amazing wine list, amazing cocktails. Cocktails run anywhere from $18 to $24. So I can only imagine what that'll be in Vegas. Anyway, that is the update. Glad to hear it's going in Vegas. I'm sure it'll do very, very, very well. All right. Have a good one. Enjoy the podcast. Bye.
Hey, thanks for that insight. We appreciate it. It's always nice to know the specific on something before it hits town. And it's going to be a while before that opens, obviously, but it's nice to hear about it. And sounds like it will definitely be one to add to the list for a cool dining experience. All right. This is the most calls. We've got 3 calls from Alonzo this week, and he doesn't mention bathrooms once.
Wow.
I know usually he'll sneak in at least one bathroom report, but...
Mm-hmm. They're still good calls.
Yeah, he was focused on that Riviera implosion. So lots of that. So let's see where he's at.
Hey, it's Alonzo again. Scoping out my spot for the implosion. Just had a oatmeal cookie martini here at the Peppermill.
Oh.
Yum, yum. Great way to end off an awesome steak dinner. So I don't know. This is really cool because we are like parked right almost next to the building. It seems a little too good to be true, but it was. So my friends and I bailed on the parking lot behind Ross, behind Peppermill, by the Sky Jump place. And my feeling was it was an incredible view. Man, I would love to see the implosion from there. But man, we weren't more than 100 yards away from the building, and I don't think they're going to let us stay here. So we escaped to the parking garage at the Encore. So we're up on the 8th floor, up on the roof, and having a good time. All right, bye.
All right, we're going to hear his full implosion experience report.
Not his implosion, the implosion he was viewing.
He doesn't really discuss the implosion itself very much, but the viewing experience is what his story is all about. So we'll be hearing about that shortly. Listen up, Wynn marketing people. He's got some issues with Wynn. Now that I know all these marketing people are listening, I like to alert them to the part where their properties are going to get shit on. All right. Next up.
Hey there, this is Keith from Dallas. This is my first time calling in, but
welcome.
Calling because I want to talk about a place called Yusho in Monte Carlo, or the park, or the parking, or whatever it's about to be called. If you walk in the front, you make a right by the Millennial Play Center, with the shuffleboard and pool table. If you go in there, it is an absolutely phenomenal place to get some ramen. I don't know how much ramen's up in your neck of the woods. We have a few places in Dallas that were great. One in particular, my wife and I really liked. After eating at this place, I want to go back and burn that place to the ground. So good. Boston Poser Ramen. It's kind of their take on the tonkatsu ramen you would see in Japanese restaurants, but it's got a whole bunch of awesomeness in it. Sorry, I had two 22-ounce Asahis as I ate my ramen, and I'm a little slurry here, but anyway, worth a visit. So I'm here. I'm staying at the Cromwell. That's a properly nice resort. Really liking it there. The room's great. The casino's fantastic. 100 times odds. I was there today as I played. Interesting place to be around 4 a.m. when the club upstairs lets out. It becomes like this douchebag terminus or terminal, if you will, where they all like are roaming about the casino, and they're like picking their destinations, whether they're going to Uber or walk or take a cab.
And, free entertainment.
Lots of interchanging of destinations. So anyway, my first time calling. I'm not much of a participant on the Facebook group, although I do lurk on there occasionally and post a couple things. But anyway, love the podcast, and I guess that's it. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for breaking the seal and calling in, so to speak. We appreciate it. And good information. We may have had a review or two on your show, but not a ton. So I appreciate that plug. Hopefully it'll stick around with the renovations of Monte Carlo. I'm not so confident that any restaurants or bars will be the same after they're done, but you never know. So take advantage of it while you can. The Cromwell has become very high on our list of places on the Strip that we love.
Yeah.
It's just there's a lot about it we like. So I would be curious. I don't get up as early as I used to in Las Vegas, but I would be curious how the situation at 4 a.m. there compares to the old Barbary Coast experience in
when
the morning.
When Dre's was letting out?
Well,
it's still Dre's.
Yeah, I know. So that was always very
free
entertaining.
Show.
It was the skank parade is what I used to
call
it.
Free motherfucking show.
But the new Dre's crowd might be a little different than the old Dre's crowd.
I'm sure it is still a spectacle.
Yes, so I might have to...
But I wonder about the times. You know, do they let out a little earlier?
They've got the After Hours Club. It probably depends on the day and that kind of stuff, but
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I might have to check out the... Next time we stay on the Strip, I might have to get up early and see how it compares
to those... And linger at Cromwell.
Yeah, those skank parades of years ago.
Yeah.
Is that rude of me to call it a skank parade?
No.
Okay.
That's what it was.
I wasn't crossing any lines there.
There were some dude bros too, though.
Oh, all kinds of dude bros. Remember the
90210 conversation?
Yeah. Come on, dude, we're getting breakfast. The only
thing they're going to smell in your breath is eggs.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that breathalyzer is going to pick up on your breath is the smell of eggs. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Next up.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Michelle. This is Dave from San Francisco.
Hello, Dave.
Calling you from New York, New York. I believe this might be the first ever stone dial.
That
might get onto the podcast. I remember.
No, sorry to break the news to you. We've had other stoned callers over the years. I wonder what ever happened to Roach Clip Charlie.
I was just thinking about him.
We had a regular caller named Roach Clip Charlie, and last time he called, I think, one of the last times he called, which was years ago, he'd just gotten out of jail.
Uh-huh.
And then he disappeared again. If you're out there, Roach Clip Charlie, we'd love to hear from you, but it's been 6 years, maybe. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I miss that guy. He was always entertaining. So,
but
we're happy to have your call anyway, even though you're not the first of the stoned callers.
Lots of drunk dials. But thanks to the medical marijuana dispensary just north of SLS and Stratosphere on the Strip, yes, this is a stone dial. Brief review of the dispensary. It's called
Yes.
Hey, doesn't glaucoma run in your family?
Yeah, I just had an eye appointment though, and it didn't. I haven't been so lucky yet.
Okay.
Thanks for checking, though.
Welcome.
Essence, very nice, clean, professional. Everybody I talked to there was really helpful. Price wise, seemed pretty reasonable. Like an eighth runs somewhere between $40 and $50, depending on the strain. They got edibles as cheap as a couple bucks, up to like $30 or $40, depending on quantity and dosage that you want. So anyway, if any fellow 500ites are into weed, I do strongly recommend this. I have a California medical marijuana card, and they do have reciprocity here in Nevada. I had to fill out some paperwork just so they could have it on file, but that took like 5 minutes, not a big deal. So anyway, thank you for an awesome podcast, and I hope to see you at Vimp in a couple months. Take care.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for that report, and if you do come to Vimp, don't bring us any edibles, if you know what I'm saying. That would be wrong. Don't do that. It would be, we'd be on, well, we'd feel bad, you know, turning down any gifts, but it would be wrong to do that. So we'll see you at Vimp. And good luck with your health issues. We know how stringent the California system is for getting a medical marijuana card. So
I have opinions on this.
On what? The medical marijuana situation?
Yes.
In Vegas?
But I don't want to detract from the show.
Within a couple of years, it's going to be legal for everybody in Vegas.
God, so. I fucking hope so.
I think they're voting on it this year, and then it would be another year or two before it's implemented. But there's a very good chance.
I just shared my opinion, so.
Yeah, there's a very good chance it's going to be legal for everybody at some point. All right. Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. Next up.
Hello, 500. This is Jim from Orlando.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
I was giving you guys a Memorial Day, slightly delayed trip report. I stayed at Nobu at Caesars, and I was actually there to see The Who on Sunday at the Coliseum. And I'd never stayed at Caesars before, and I kind of came away with two takeaways from Caesars. One, that I'm become a big fan of the cabanas by the pool at Caesars, and it was a very busy weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and yes, the cabanas are overpriced, but I have to say it's worth it. It's kind of the definition of relaxation, and you don't have any scrambling for chairs out by the pool. You have your own private cabana, so I think it's kind of worth it. The other great thing about Caesars is the restaurant Seersuckers, and you guys had talked about this, and I want to thank you for bringing that up because it was on our radar because of the show, and we used that as our kind of meetup point rally location for everybody to see The Who, and they have great appetizers and drinks, and you also get a great view of the casino area at Caesars. It's glass enclosed, which I don't think I've seen at any other restaurant in Vegas. It's enclosed in terms of kind of cut off, but you can see what's going on, and it also keeps it quiet. You hear a bit of a murmur from the casino area. And on Sunday, we saw The Who, and it was at the Coliseum, and it was a great show. The crowd was almost out of control. It was a very raucous Las Vegas crowd, and The Who got into the spirit of the show. Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend kind of picked up on that energy, and it was at times you thought it was going to spin out of control with what was going on and how great the show was. We also had an encounter with our very own Dr. Dave at The Who show. He was there.
Nice.
And after the show, all of us, including Dr. Dave, we ended up back at Seersucker, and we closed Seersucker down, and I think looking back on it, it was one of those times when you go, it was a perfect Las Vegas day, seeing The Who and having a great time. And one thing, I want to thank both of you, Tim and Michelle, Last week, and I know it wasn't easy, but both of you went ahead and posted your show, and it was much appreciated. And the city of Orlando, we have been in agony since the attack at the Pulse nightclub last week. And the one bright spot last Sunday was seeing that you had posted a show and being able to listen to it and having a diversion. And my only wish was that it had been 5 hours long. But I want you to know it was much appreciated. And the next time that I'm in Las Vegas and I see both of you, you both deserve a very big hug. And that goes for you also, Tim.
I like a big hug.
So thank you and be safe, everyone.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
That's super kind. It makes me feel a little guilty about taking the week after that off. But we appreciate that, and we're still thinking about Orlando and all that stuff.
And I'm glad that this one small thing.
Yeah, that's nice that we could be a diversion. Like I said, a couple of people on Twitter made similar comments about it being a nice break from reality for them. And
it was for us, too.
That's exactly it. I said
after we did the show, I just felt slightly better about life.
Yeah, and then you turn the news back on, and then reality floods back in, and it's kind of like, there it is again. You can't escape it. And so anyway, thank you. That means a lot to us. We appreciate it, Jim.
Yes. What he was saying about The Who and just having a perfect day in Vegas, like I could, it just sounds so great because sometimes seeing shows in Vegas is different from seeing shows at home.
Definitely.
Because it's just this, because you're already in this escape.
And then you get to see one of your favorite bands rock ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how big is the Coliseum? Because seeing The Who in that venue.
Yeah. What is it, like 4,000 or 5,000?
Yeah. It's.
It would be great to see them in a venue that size.
Yes.
Oh, and they really,
I love them. They're great.
They put on a great show this tour. And they're, so they're doing the two shows in California at Indio at the Coachella location in October. And they just announced a show in Santa Barbara. And everybody's favorite rumor monger, Robin Leach, who's right approximately 12% of the time, he mentioned that there is a rumor they may be playing T-Mobile somewhere in there too. So it would be lovely if
that was, well,
like when we're there for VIMF.
Yes.
That would be really cool.
Yes.
Of course, the Rolling Stones, there was a rumor that they might be playing, they're playing
the 19th.
They're playing right after VIMF. And
that's a Wednesday.
It'd be nice if they. There was a rumor that they were going to be playing a show about a week earlier. That has not yet transpired, but I'm still hoping that that happens too. So,
yeah. Come on, concert music gods. Be nice to us.
Yep. All right. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. First time caller, short time listener, but a long time neighbor. Phil and Joan from across the street.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Joan.
Here at Caesar's Palace, around the pool, enjoying ourselves. Hopefully you're taking care of our plants and picking up the mail, even though I didn't ask you to. That's fine. Hey, had a great night last night. Came out here with four Vegas virgins and took them down to Fremont Street. Stopped in at the D. Derek wasn't there, but we're going to hopefully catch up with him tonight. And hopefully he'll buy us a round on you. So,
put it on my tab.
Later, having a great time, enjoying ourselves, and thanks a lot for 500 by midnight and all the fun it's brought us. Talk to you.
And for being the best neighbor ever, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're awesome.
I know, it's lovely to hear from our neighbors. That's cool. Sorry, I did not take in your mail. I did not water your plants. I wasn't aware of where you were gone. However, if you could install a pool before your next trip to Las Vegas, I'd be happy to take care of that for you. All right. I talked to him a little while ago, earlier this afternoon, about his trip, and it sounds like he had a wonderful time. I get so excited when somebody I know just got back from Vegas. I had to run across the street.
You're like, I want to live vicariously through you.
I had to run over there. I was standing on his front lawn for like half hour. What happened next? What happened next? Then what? Yeah. All right. Last call of the week.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Alonzo one more time. Made it back from Vegas and the implosion. And oh, man, was that fun. So my story is I ended up on top of the Encore parking garage, and it turns out that the eighth floor, the roof floor, is employee parking. So we wandered our way through the garage until we found a way to get the car up there. This was like, say, 10:30. Set up a couple chairs. My friend Frank even set up a hammock because, you know, we knew we were in for a long haul.
You're like tailgating.
But we got
I love
the prime
this.
Spot, man. We were in the corner. We had the best view. We were all set up. And we chilled out there for a couple of hours. And maybe another dozen or so people joined us on the roof up there because they also were interested in getting the prime spot. And so we all collected. And then lo and behold, here comes this Encore security dude in a white polo shirt and a bicycle and his bicycle helmet, and tootles up and says, "You guys can't stay here. This is the employee parking, and you're going to have to move." And we'd already checked out the seventh floor, one floor down, and it was good, but not as good as the eighth floor. So begrudgingly, we made him bring over at least one or two more other of his security guard friends, and they all told us the same story. So we packed up the chairs and the cameras and the car and the hammock and went down to the seventh floor, which was now at least one person deep the whole way down because everybody knew that this was now the spot. This was not happening because we just had prime spots, and now we were just kicked back to the second row, which sucked. So we went down to the sixth floor, and there we got as best a spot we could. It was better than the seventh floor, which was now craziless, and set up. And this is, what is this now, 12:30, almost 1 o'clock? And the dude comes back with another friend and says, he starts off with, "You're not going to like this, because I've already talked to you once, but I think we're going to have to move you all out again." And, oh, holy hell broke loose, because everybody was giving this guy flack. Even him showing him on the internet, all the websites that had posted and said, "Go to the Encore parking garage for a good view." And we told him, "Yeah, you can kick us out, but the 1,000 other people are going to be here in a couple of hours. And, you know, we're just the tip of the spear, man. Everybody is coming up here." And to their grace, they reconsidered the options and allowed us to stay as long as we stayed off the stairs, because the stairs were the fire exit, which we agreed to, and we kept it all cool. It was fun. We built our new family down there on the sixth floor and enjoyed the implosion. And it was fun. I'm a little disappointed at the Encore. I mean, we found out about this, 2 weeks ago? And they found out about it, I guess, at 10 o'clock that night. Their security guys had no idea. And that really kind of ticked me off, because you'd think you would have known that that was a good place. There was plenty of cameras up there, too. They had been watching us for, who knows, 2-3 hours, sitting there in our chairs and hammocks waiting for this. And they waited until it was all nice and dark and everybody had settled in to tell us to move along. So if anyone from the Encore is listening,
they
this
are
going to happen again in August. So maybe you can be a little more prepared the next time. All right. Take it easy, y'all.
All right. Thanks for the report. Yeah, so the other tower is coming down in mid-August. So you would think that if they were going to keep people out, they would start doing it
early
in the evening,
yeah,
right when they show up. So I'm glad they let them stay at least,
mm-hmm,
and there's a happy ending there. So part of me was wishing, knowing Alonzo's history, that he was going to like review parking spot 23G on the sixth level as the bathroom spot for the implosion viewers.
Oh, right.
That did not happen. So thanks for the reports. Thanks to all of our callers. We appreciate it. Lots of good information this week. This week's listener purchase of the week. People have been using our Amazon link like mad, and we do appreciate it. This week's, I chose the Iron Maiden t-shirt because, you know what? You still got to rock.
Uh-huh.
So way to represent Iron Maiden and way to use our link to buy that shirt. We do appreciate it.
Some of us rock harder in our wardrobe than others.
Some of us don't have real jobs, so some of us get to. I don't have any Iron Maiden t-shirts. I don't really have any like metal t-shirts these days.
Some of us posted a picture of a sweatshirt on Facebook this week.
Well, next time I post something on Facebook, on the Facebook group, people will see my new profile picture. I'm rocking. It's a photo from 1989 or 1990. I'm rocking a Debbie Gibson sweatshirt. It's pretty righteous. People seem pretty thrilled with it.
It's something.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, please click through the link at 500bymidnight.com. We are part of their affiliate program, and as such, your purchases support the podcast, and you don't have to spend anything extra. So thank you for doing that. A bunch of PayPal donations in the last 2 weeks, starting with recurring monthly donations from Brian, Dr. Vonx, Michael, and Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your ongoing support. We appreciate it. We had a donation from a gentleman named Chris. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Josh from New York City. He was on the plane when he made the donation after 2 years away.
Oh, I hope you have an awesome time.
I hope it was a great time. Lauren and Dane. Karma donation for their trip, which is happening as we speak. Annual World Series of Poker trip. And they find our podcast entertaining week after week.
Thank you.
Glad you like it. Thank you so much. Time. Even though I butchered your name. All right. We had another donation from a gentleman named Bernard. Thank you, sir. Monica with a karma donation for an upcoming Las Vegas trip to celebrate her husband's 50th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Hope you have a good time.
Yeah, that's happening in just a few days. Have a great time. Ed and Julie, they're another special occasion. They were going to Las Vegas. I bet they're there right now because these shows have been happening. Mm-hmm. 10th anniversary to see Garth Brooks.
Cool.
I just saw that.
Happy 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, congratulations on that. That's huge. Just saw that Garth Brooks showed up at some sort of songwriter showcase at Rose Rabbit Live at Cosmopolitan and got on stage and performed. Very cool for anybody who was there in a tiny location like that. Unexpected performance from like a big superstar. That rocks. All right. Matthew with Karma said a Karma donation said the audiobook for The Outsider's Guide was great, and he appreciates us maintaining the Facebook group.
Oh, thank you.
Happy to do so. It's a great source of information. Our friend John, one of those nutbags from Vegas tripping who is currently in Macau, with a 500 Hong Kong dollar by midnight karma donation.
Thank you, John.
I don't believe that's how much he actually gave us. I think that was his wish. I don't know what the conversion rate is. Very well might be how much he gave us. I don't know, but... I've been
Their pictures and reports have been so entertaining and cool.
Yeah, Hunter and Chuck Monster and John H. are all there and having a cool time in Macau.
Been living vicariously.
It's really cool to see the photos and see how similar some of the decor and the interiors are to the Las Vegas versions of Wynn and Venetian.
Like was it the Wynn Convention Center? The Encore Convention Center that looked almost exactly the same?
Yeah. It's really neat to see. I also did not realize, because I don't follow Macau that closely, that Las Vegas Sands is building or recently built a Parisian. They're building an Eiffel Tower there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was happening. So now there will be three of them. The original in Las Vegas, of course.
Right.
That one in
Paris.
In Europe somewhere. Whatever. I don't know what that's about. And then the one in Macau. All right. Glenn with a karma donation. Again, another big occasion. 20th anniversary trip in early August.
Thank you. Happy anniversary.
Hoping to hit his first royal.
Good luck.
But we'll be happy with whatever is the equivalent to a royal flush for the overall trip experience. Well, whatever it ends up being, hopefully it's a royal flush, but wishing you many jackpots and a great 20th anniversary. Gordon, and he's, man, why are people tormenting me with this? Gordon sent us a donation just because Yacht Rock is back on Sirius XM.
Yes.
And he knows, apparently, that you're a big fan of Yacht Rock.
I am.
And that makes my life miserable because you come home from work every day and tell me what shitty songs you were listening to on the way home.
Not shitty. They are not.
When you're like, guess what Christopher Cross song I heard today? I'm like, I'd rather not.
Don't disrespect Ride Like the Wind.
Okay. Anyway, we'll be seeing Gordon at VIMP, and thank you, sir, for your support of the show.
Thank you. And also, I know several people have said, hey, Yacht Rock's available as a Pandora station, but there's something about hearing it in your car. And I know I could hook up my iPhone and put Pandora on or whatever, but there's just something about hopping in your car, turning on the radio, and hearing Michael McDonald. Oh, yeah,
really. That's my Michael McDonald. All right, Chris and Sarah from St. Louis Park, fellow Minnesotans, karma donation for their wedding.
Oh,
at Cosmo,
wedding.
I believe today.
Yay!
Congratulations! That is awesome. Hope it all went well, and I hope you have a fantastically long life together of much happiness and Vegasness.
Yes.
Mick and Ryan, a karma donation for a trip next week. Thanks for all the laughs and good information. Well, thank you for your support. We hope you have a great time.
Yes.
And finally, Andrew with a karma donation for an 8-day trip over the 4th of July.
Thank you.
Enjoy every minute of it. Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody for the support of the show. It means a lot. As always, I like to pimp my book, The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. It's available on Amazon and iTunes and Audible and wherever finer books are sold. LasVegasOutsidersBook.com is where you can find all the links. And that does it. That was a pretty long show.
Huh.
I had fun.
Me too.
It's nice to be back behind the microphone with you.
You too.
All right. Me too. Anything else before we tie things up here? Any favorite rock, yacht rock hits you'd like to recommend?
Baker Street.
Oh, fuck Baker Street. That sax solo has been stuck in my head since I was like 11 years old.
I love Baker Street. I will never apologize for loving Baker Street.
I can't do it. I hated that song from the moment I was a child. First time I heard it, I'm like, oh my God, this excruciating sax solo will not end. It will not leave my head.
Oh, it's so great.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm glad you find happiness in your life through shitty hits of the 70s. I will stick with my hair metal.
All right.
And my Debbie Gibson sweatshirt.
I enjoy
sweatshirt.
Hair metal, though. I switch to Hair Nation occasionally.
I'll be over here listening to the 10-minute remix version of Shake Your Love by Debbie Gibson.
You do
and
that.
And you go on with your Michael McDonald hits.
I will.
All right. 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the email address. I am 500. She is Anita Martini on Twitter. Of course, you can call us. We'd love to hear from you, just like we heard from so many callers this week.
Because I've got such a long way to go, make it to the border of Mexico.
See? Then I can't help but do that every time you mention one of the songs.
And he's like the background vocals of half the songs on there.
It's like his whole genre.
It is. It's great.
702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. If you'd like to call us in the voice of Michael McDonald or anyone else.
Oh, God.
The sweet guy went to Chino Poblano, had some tacos and dim sum. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. I will be here singing every song I know to the voice of Michael McDonald, even though I can't deal with it, and it will forever haunt my dreams. Hope you have a lovely week. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, next week's a holiday week, so maybe that means we'll do an extra... I don't know what it means. It means nothing. But
Yeah, it means we'll probably be imbibing.
We will certainly have a show for you next weekend.
Yes.
All right. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.